would, turn to Colossians chapter 3.
I was in the Bible this morning with the Lord, and He just showed me that some things out of the book of Colossians chapter 3. And, you know, when God wrote something in the Bible, He wrote it in a way where we're supposed to follow these things. He wrote them in order. You see, people read the Bible, they see a couple things, and they want to try to skip and jump. You can't skip and jump in the Word of God. You can't choose those things that you're going to listen to and not listen to. Amen. It's very important that when we read the Bible, we see that God puts things in order. He's the God of decency and order. The Bible tells us that very clearly. And so you'll see people in 2 Peter, they'll jump around and says, add to your faith, diligence, temperance and knowledge and so on. Well, they want to take and they want to switch everything to fit their lifestyle. You know, God's not concerned about you fitting things in your lifestyle from Him. He's not, hey, there's no stipulation on, hey, this is what I tell you to do, but you can go ahead and do it your way. Why would we need God? Amen. What's the purpose of needing Jesus Christ? And if we're just going to go ahead and read what the Word of God says and do things our way. And so Colossians chapter 3 here, we'll start in verse 1. And here's what it says. It says, if you've been risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. And let me just tell you, that causes a lot of problems when you got your affection set here on earth. Okay, it causes you a lot of disappointment. People look and say, why would I want to serve God when everything seems to go wrong for me? Because you have your affections in the wrong place.
Right.
You're looking on the temporal. You're looking on those things that happen instead of looking on those things that are going to come. What about those things, my friends, if you're saved, those things that are going to come? Isn't that exciting that you're going to go to heaven? Isn't it exciting to know that you get to sit in eternity with me? Hey, but I'm just telling you the truth. That ain't everywhere I go. That ain't everywhere I go. People can't believe that I'm going to be going to heaven with them. Thank the Lord for it, right? Thank God for it. I'm glad I'm going to heaven. How about you?
Amen.
I'm glad Jesus Christ looked down 8.5 years ago and saved me. I'm thankful that He done that. And so what it says is, verse 2, it says, set your affection on things above and not on things on the earth. Matthew 6:33 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Didn't say second.
Amen.
Didn't say when you get up in the morning, go ahead and put everything else in your life first, and then when you think you find time, you go ahead and seek God. And then you wonder why He doesn't answer your prayers. You know what? Personally, He probably got His ear closed to you because you don't want to give Him the time.
Amen.
That's right. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. He should have preeminence in our life. That means there is nothing that should be above Jesus Christ. But you know what? Everything on this planet is above that. I hear people all the time saying, my life is this way and I can't get saved this way and this is going on. I say, well, where do you have Jesus? Where do you have your diligence? What are you seeking and where are you seeking? You see, He says here, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Set your affections on those things that are above. And I said this over at Anchor Baptist Church. When people, you got a little kid in your life and they see something they want. They see, let's say they see a new bike. They see that new bike and they want it more than anything on this entire planet. They can't even sleep at night. It keeps them awake all night long. The next day they get up and they keep saying, that's the bike I want. Man, I really would love to have that. Man, that's what I really want. I need to have that thing. Isn't that how it is? Should be for salvation?
Amen.
How about it? Who got up this morning? If you're lost in this room, did you think about your soul, where it might go today? Did you wake up saying that, you know what? I'm lost and I may end up in hell today. Did that bother you this morning? Did you seek God first? You see, it's a serious matter because there's people out in these pews today sitting in this church who play Russian roulette with their soul and they're okay with it. They're comfortable there. I remember when me knowing that I was lost became uncomfortable.
Amen.
I remember knowing when I became lost, sitting in that pew where my wife is at, sitting in that corner right there, realizing, my goodness, today could be the day that I face eternity. And it bothered me. And I couldn't rest, and I mean zero rest. It didn't matter how many sleeping pills I took. It didn't matter how much I drank or how much dope I smoked. It didn't go away. Thank God for His mercy.
Amen.
Who gave me the desire to seek Him. who I wanted to seek. You know, back in the days, for 40 years, I lived out there in the wilderness. For 40 years, I lived out there lost. But God had looked inside of me from before I was born and said, one day he's going to seek for the love of the truth.
Amen.
Yeah. One day he's going to come. One day he's going to seek for the love of the truth. You know, I didn't know that. You know my past lifestyle, I didn't know that. I tried to go against everything that God was. I tried to stand against everything he was. I would write music about, going against him. I was reading the Necronomicon, which is the Book of the Curses by Anton LaVey. And I was trying to put curses out there on people and do animal sacrifices in graveyards. And my body's covered with death and Satanism and everything. I tried to do everything that I could against Jesus Christ. I wrote songs about chopping his mother up on a table. He didn't kill me. You know why? He saw down in my heart that this person standing here is a facade. Just a costume that I put on. That's not who Dale really is. That's not this person who's going to one day turn. He's going to love me. Who's going to come to me. He's going to seek for that love of that truth. But you know what he had to bring me through to get there? You know why? I had my affections set. Once I started getting my affections off this earth and I started seeking God first, guess what? He was able to deal with me. He was able to show me things about myself. What a good and merciful God to spend the time on somebody like me. What a good and merciful God to say. But you know what? Until that became everything in my heart, everything in my life, I was going to stay the same person I was. I could have been dead in hell today. What a good God. I was thinking, Amy's family, her cousin, her son is having surgery and all that kind of stuff. And I said, my goodness, here's people who don't believe in a God, who have more faith in something they don't believe in than most people sitting in these church pews this morning. Because the very moment that a little bit of trouble in your soul comes along, your whole world falls apart. And here's these people, and I'm watching them go through and go, oh my goodness. Oh my goodness, what is going to happen when God pulls the rug out from underneath you? It's coming. It's coming. God is going to do it. Verse 3 says, for you are dead and your life is hid with Christ. And that wasn't the message, but I wanted to get to this in verse 4. It says, when Christ, who is our life? How about it? Is Christ your life? You got somebody, Stephen, your wife. She's your wife or your life. Is Jesus Christ your life? Do you think about him as much as you think about the person sitting next to you? Do you think about him as much as your job? Do you think about him as much as when you wake up every day and you leave your home and you got to go out there and you got to do that everyday grind? Do you think about Jesus Christ that way? If not, shame on you. And you want to be saved? Or Christian, you want to have victory in your life, but yet Jesus Christ doesn't have preeminence in your life? He is not your life. He is my life. Without him, I breathe nothing. There is zero to my life without Jesus Christ. I know this. I don't put myself on a pedestal thinking that I'm anything, because the moment that Jesus Christ steps out of my life and puts his hand over me and doesn't look at me, my life is over with. I know where I function. I know who I belong to. I know what my life is in. And my life is in Jesus Christ, because without him, I have zero. Amen. Zero. How about it, my friends? Is he your life? If he's not your life, he wants to give it to you. What a wonderful life it is, even through hard times. My body's falling apart physically. I got all these things that just keep happening over and over and over again. It's killing my wife and my kids. They're looking at me. They're falling apart. But you know what? God has been too good to me to complain about it. Man, I'm still alive today. How about that? It took everything in my power to get up and get dressed this morning. I didn't know I was preaching. But thank God I love to preach. You know why? Let me tell you why. This is when I feel the best.
Amen.
When I'm going to that jail and I'm traveling 3 to 4 times a week and I'm preaching and teaching there and I get to preach here, I feel wonderful. I feel like I'm on top of the world, man, because Jesus Christ steps in my life and he says, here, I'll get you through this. Man, what a wonderful God. Hey, if you have not experienced that yet, you're missing out.
Amen.
Peace that passes all understanding. What a good God he is. How dare I complain? I should be dead or in a lot worse position than I am. Okay? Look what it says here. When Christ is our life shall appear, then shall also appear with him in glory. Here it is. Mortify. know what mortify means? Subdue. Put your body in subjection. Get rid of that thing. You know what today? People don't mortify nothing. They let it all hang out. They just do whatever they want to do. Go ahead and get whatever they want to get in. Hear whatever they want to hear. See whatever they want to see. And wonder why they end up in the trouble they end up in. Why? Why did Dale Moore end up in the trouble that I ended up in? Because something happened to me in my past? No, because I made those choices.
Yeah.
I became a man at 18 years old and I made those choices. I didn't know how to mortify my members. I didn't know how to subdue it and put it underneath subjection. You know, Jesus Christ was trying to get up. The more I think of things, and I tell my wife all the time, my time frame is so messed up in my life, I can't ever get it right. But the more I think on things, the more I see that Jesus Christ was trying to get a hold of me since I was in a boys' home. But I never understood it. I never seen that. I was so blind to it because I thought the first time that I was ever introduced to the gospel when I was in prison. And that's not true. You see, the Lord brought that memory back to me. He said, I've been trying to get a hold of you since you were a young man. Was that his fault that I chose to reject him? I don't know. It was my fault. Me. Why? I wasn't ready to mortify my members. I liked the feeling of hurting people. I like the feeling of those desires to the opposite sex. I like to go out there and go ahead and numb myself with the drugs and alcohol and the gangs and everything else. I didn't know how to mortify. I didn't want to mortify it. You see, I didn't want to put my body under subjection. I wanted to let it all out there. And that's how they live today. It's how it is in America. They don't care about doing any of that stuff. Mortify. Therefore, your members which are upon the earth, fornication. Boy, you want to talk about getting somebody in jail? Oh, you really think you're being a Christian? You really think you want to serve this God? How about it? Big boy, you're going to go out there and sleep with your girlfriend when you get out? Oh, yeah, you know, but we're going to get married. Oh, no, you ain't ready. You ain't ready because you know what? God is against fornication. He's dead against it throughout the entire Bible. Whether it be Old Testament or New Testament, God is against it. I said, now you better go back to yourself. Check yourself now. What do you want this life for? You see, if we want to come to Jesus Christ, we're going to give it all up.
Amen.
Not just what we think we should give up. It's all going. Every bit of it. That's what the new life in Christ is. If my old life is still going to be there, why would I want to serve somebody who's going to leave me in the same position that I've always been? Why would I want that? I was looking for a way out of this life, not a way to stay in it or keep, you know, pick and choose. I want it out.
Amen.
Until you come to that point where you really want out of what you are and where you are, you'll stay right there. You'll stay right there.
Amen.
You'll stay. You ain't going to go nowhere. Look at your life. Look at it. Tell me where it's gone. Where is it? God is trying to bring you to a place where you absolutely hate what you are and those things you do, and you reject it. You reject it. My goodness, mortify your members. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate. You know what that inordinate means? It's an excessive amount of sexual feelings or feelings. I can't control it. I just got to do it. I can't stop. Oh, really? It's not that you can't stop, you don't want to. Oh, it gets too much for me. I remember those days.
Yeah.
It gets too much for me. Listen. You can't stop it, you just choose not to. You choose to give in when you give in.
Amen.
You choose to give in when you... Why? I can't stop. I just can't. Yes, you can. You don't want to. You don't want to mortify that member. That's what it comes down to. It's not that you can't. You see, God put things in our life. God put things in the Bible. Whether you're saved or not saved, God put things in the Bible to protect you, not as a punishment.
That's right.
People think, well, I can't fornicate because, you know, God's punished me. He's trying to protect you. How about it, people have put yourself out there? Tell me, how has it felt? How has it been? How did it do you? Did it do you any good? How about sharing the pain with some people out here? How about getting a hold of some of these young people and telling them the choices that you've made and what it's done to you and how good it is that they couldn't mortify you? You can't mortify yourself.
Mom.
Tell them. Let them know. Let them know the suffering of what it is to see the things that you've seen or done the things that you've done. Go out there and spare these young men. Go out there and spare these young women. Look at it says inordinate affection, evil concupiscence. You know what that means? A strong sexual desire, a strong lust. Very intense. Very intense to the point where here's an addict. Okay, that's it. I want to quit. I'm not doing dope anymore. Then an urge comes. That urge keeps coming. And it doesn't stop. It's relentless. Guess what? They give in. They do it. That's what that is. Somebody who's caught in that. Somebody who's caught in that. And I said, they'll go so far. And you know, they'll go so far. And then they'll say, you know what? I'm done with it. It's over with. I'm going to do it. You lost. You lost. You can't control it. Look at what it says here. Covetousness is, which is idolatry. For which things sake the wrath of God, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. That's talking about you. If you're unsaved today, you are a child of disobedience. Jesus Christ says, I didn't come to judge the world. He says, but the word that you're rejecting, that's what's going to judge you. The very Bible that they reject, Pastor, is going to judge them. Those very words off this paper, if it stirred you today, those very words on that paper are going to judge you, and you're okay with that. You're okay with that, Ruthann. You're okay with those words being read out loud and somebody standing up here and saying it out of their mouth, but you're okay with that. You're going to walk out of here, and you're going to forget about anything that was said today. Very rarely will you think of anything that was preached anymore. Your soul's on the line. You're playing Russian roulette. You think that God is just going to go ahead and keep extending it and that you're going to be okay. He died on the cross not to put you in hell, but to save you. What is it that you need to see? Here's what happened before I got saved. I had to stop searching for feelings. I had to stop searching for levels of conviction. I had to let go of the nonsense. You see, I had to let go of what I was looking at and start seeing what God was trying to show me.
Amen.
Over and over again, you go to God with the same things and he's through with that. He's gone. He's over that. The book of Hebrews says that we re-crucify Jesus Christ to his shame. You continuously put him back there on those sins that he's not worried about. Listen, why would he? Listen, he already knows you know that, so he's trying to move on to the next thing, but you won't let him. You stop him from doing it. And here, look at it says, verse 7, in which times you also walked in some time, which you lived in them. Okay, that's talking about saved people. At one time, this is who our life was. This is what we did. Verse 8, but now, also put off these. Look at this. People get saved, and the first thing they ask me is, why ain't God doing this, and why I'm going to... You know what? Because there's things you have to do. We're about to see a list where God tells us to put that off. He wants you to put some things off. He wants you to go out there and get the work. He wants you. Why? Because he's got to bring you to a place of where you hate what you are. Anger and wrath were probably my two biggest. I was an angry, wrathful, hateful person. But you know what? I tell God this. All right, God, I'm done with that now, okay? Let's see. Let's try that. Let's see how much you really are done with it. And I'd sit there and go, oh my goodness, I'm not done. If you're struggling with something out here and something comes up and you do it again, you're not done with it. You're not to the point where you hate it yet. You're just not there. That's it. I really want to get saved. 2 or 3 days go by. Tell me. When things start calming down again, you shut that conviction off. You're not worried about salvation anymore. Salvation is a secondary thing to you. I'm not kidding. Probably about 4 months before I got saved, my life just fell apart, man. I mean, everything. The whole bottom fell out. I mean, it was the most miserable time in my entire life. And I thank and praise God for it because it was in that time that God just started dealing with me more than ever because he knew that I was in that birth canal. Amen. One thing he was trying to show me, can you imagine? I held out for that long sitting in that pew. I could have saved myself a lot of trouble if I would have put away what man taught me. You understand? Man taught me these things and God was trying to deal with me through his word. He was trying to show me something, but I kept clinging on to what men were trying to teach me. I kept clinging on to their knowledge. And it wasn't I mean, no disrespect to my pastor, but my pastor didn't show me that I was lost. The Holy Ghost of God showed me that I was lost. So if the Holy Ghost showed me that I was lost by my pastor and other men preaching the word, then who was going to show me where it was going to be for salvation? Brother Mike, I remember when he preached on that, being able to see. Remember, he came up. That's where most of you are sitting today. But let me ask you, when's the last time you thought about that message? I think about that often.
Yeah,
amen. It was a wonderful jail. And a perfect example of what's going on with the people sitting in these church pews. Those who are in jail.
Yeah.
I use that to show them, and they go, oh my goodness. I say, because you're not seeing what God wants you to see. You're not seeing what Jesus Christ is trying to show you. You're trying to hang on to something that you always held. Listen, searching and being diligent has become your religion. You've turned that into a religion. God didn't ask you to turn that into a religion. He asked you to seek him. Okay? Lock it up. And that preacher preached. We went to that men's rally on Friday. He went a little long. He was a younger. I could tell he wasn't preaching for very long. I look and I heard some of the things when I was a younger preacher, hearing some things. But he just said, because you get up and read your Bible, because you go to church, because you pray, you turn that into a religion. You're totally missing out on what God is trying to show you. Well, look at, I'm doing this. How come God isn't showing it to me? Get rid of the have-tos and start getting into the I want-tos.
Amen.
That's what I tell my kids. Get rid of the I have to do this and start getting into the I want to do this. If you really want to get saved, then you'll want to start reading that Bible. You see, if those words on that page mean nothing to you, then why are you reading it? You see, 1 Peter 1:21 or 1:23 says that we're born again. How? By the word of God. That the word of God comes by, faith comes by hearing the word of God, and you're looking at those as only words, then what's it going to do for you? Here, let me give you a Tom Sawyer book because you might have better luck. Those words and what's being said has to mean something. If it doesn't mean anything, then what are you doing it for? What is your purpose? Tell God, what is my purpose in doing this? Am I being diligent? What kind of diligence do you have? You've heard me say it before. I'm not going to say it again. God's not worried about your diligence. His diligence and yours are totally two different things. They will look totally different. And God is going to show you things that you don't see. God wants to expose to you those things that you are so blind to see. Proverbs 20:27 says that the spirit in a man is a candle that lighteth the inward parts of the belly. That's what God's spirit is. You can find that in John 1:9, where we're all born with a light in us, right? And now that light, God's trying to expose that inner most part of that you close down, right? So for all those years that I was out there on the street, I used to carry all that stuff happening to me. The abuse from my mother and her boyfriends and being molested and the things that I've done against people and things they've done against me. Boom, I got that on my back. Here I am. You know what I'm doing? I'm taking it to the altar like that's conviction. That was worldly sorrow. Did me zero good. You know, going down to the altar with that stuff never got me saved. Never got me saved, darn it. Man, ain't that something? Because God was trying to show me is that worldly sorrow, godly sorrow that worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of. What have you done against the holy God? Do you know? Or will you name a few G-Bach things that you think God has really got against you? Job 10:1 says it in the bitterness of his soul. He goes on and he says that he's going to weep. You know what he says? He says, don't condemn me. Show me therefore why thou contendest with me. Why is God contending with you? Do you know why he's contending with you? Do you see it? Do you want to see it? Hard thing. It's a wonderful thing to hear testimonies of people who can get it right away. Because God had plowed in their hearts. But then there's people like me who it took a long time for me to see. You know what it took for me to see? That I was a rebel against the holy God. Isn't that something? You know what happened? I got saved.
Amen.
My life changed.
Amen.
You think, oh my goodness, you didn't know that, Dale? No, because I tell you this, I kept holding on to worldly conviction like it was godly conviction. It was totally two different things. Mm-hmm. But when I finally saw it, brother, guess what? I got saved. And I realized, my goodness, salvation was the easiest thing that ever happened to me. But me, being the knucklehead, made it that hard. Because I refused to see what the Bible's talking about. You know why? Here's what most people think. Well, you know, God sets these rules and stuff, and he sets it, and it's so hard. Listen, if you wouldn't have started it in the first place, it wouldn't have been hard. If you wouldn't have started breaking them, if you wouldn't have started getting into them and started doing the things you would get, it wouldn't have been that hard. You know, God made a way for us to take care of things. But why would I care about what the Bible has to say? Why would I care about what the Holy Ghost has to say to me? Why would I care about these things? And because you go on here and it says, but now put off all these things, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communications out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of him that created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision, uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond or free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against, even as Christ forgave you, so do you also. What unforgiveness are you holding in your heart? What unforgiveness do you have in there? What bitterness are you holding on to that is stopping you from getting to Jesus Christ? What pride has got you so swelled up that you will not lay yourself, humble yourself, under the mighty hand of God that he may lift you up? Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God that he may lift you up. What is stopping you from getting there? How many more wildernesses? How many more things is he going to show you? How many more times? How many more trials? What is it going to take for you to finally come to that point in your life where you're ready to see what God wants to show you, right? 1 Thessalonians, look at, let me show you something here. 1 Thessalonians 5, and again, I understand you may all know these verses, but knowing them and living them are two different things, okay? You can know verses all day long, but if you can't live them, it's worthless. God didn't give you a Bible to know verses. Okay, he gave you verses to live them. Okay, he gave you directions in your life. There's something, you know, Bible. You've heard me say it before. Bible, basic instructions before leaving Earth. Right, Kyle. I'm pretty sure that God, the hospital when you guys left with your son, that he didn't give you an instruction manual how to take care of him. But you know what? God is good because when we get saved, he gives us an instruction manual. It's called the Bible. Because he knows we don't know how to live that life. But you know what we don't look at it as? An instruction manual. We look at it as a religious thing. We look at it as just another book. Just another thing that I do. Just something that I've had in my entire life that means absolutely nothing to me. And if it will never mean anything to you, then you can go ahead and hang up the salvation. Okay? That's everything to us. This is everything that we need. This is every bit of our entire life. It's every bit of our being. This is how we breathe. Remember, it says in Hebrews 4:12 that the word of God is quick. It means it's alive. It's powerful. It's going to show you the thoughts and the intents of your heart. But you know what? If you're not looking at it as that sword, if you're not looking at it as that thing that will show you that, you're not going to see what he's trying to show you. Look at what it says here. Let's read it, starting verse 14. We exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient towards all men. The more I travel around, the less I see of that. Okay? The less I see of those things that's taking place. And we went to Friday to that men's rally. And I'll just tell you this. It was probably the most dead thing I've ever been to in my entire existence as a Christian. The same, man. Why? Because none of this is there. They've left off God. They've left off what it really is to be a Christian. They've had some good points the last few meetings that I've been to. But man, I tell you this, you look at them, you go, all they're dwelling on is man's knowledge. They have no clue about nothing else. Hey, when you make your pastor or whoever it is your God, there's an issue. And I'm telling you right now, Chris can vouch for me, that man made his pastor his God. There's a respect. I have utmost respect for my pastor. He's the man of God. He's the one God put in charge of me and my family. But let me tell you, the day I make him my God is the day it will destroy me and my family. Yeah, it will destroy me and my walk.
And me.
That's right, and him. But that's what's going on today. This is why we don't see this anymore. Here, there's probably almost 100 people in that place, and they sang. Let me tell you what, all that music did was hit the floor. You come to Black Creek here, and you got 10 people here singing, the roof is about to pop off. That's a reality. I've traveled around enough to see it. Why? Because they've left off. Do you know they've left off, and I'm going to preach at this at 1 o'clock, they've left off the importance of the Bible. Everything else has a preeminence. Whether it be programs, I'm not against programs, but here, the best program that we need for lost people is that book right there. Yeah. The best program we need for our life is that book. Until we can get that right in our lives, until the people in the pews can get that right in our life, program doesn't have nothing to do with it. You know why I know that? Because not a program on this entire planet ever saved me or changed me. None. I can name all the people who used to come in and minister to us through all the different organizations and that call themselves Christians coming in, they want to preach to people and so on and so forth in jail. But let me tell you something, it never touched my life. What they had to offer never touched me, but you know what did? When the man of God finally stood up there and he started preaching that King James Bible, that's when it touched my life.
Amen.
That's when it made a difference in an inmate. That's when it made a difference in a convict. And a gang member. So much so that it drove me. How about this? Do you know what it's like to be in a gang? Then what would drive a man to go to his gang in the middle of prison and tell them that he can't do it anymore? What would drive me to do that? Putting my life out there. Has it drove you to do anything? Listen, when you start hearing, not listening, hearing. When you start hearing this book, it drives you to do something. Something will happen in your life. When you're listening, you'll continue to do the same things you've always done. But when I started hearing this Bible, Pastor, it made me approach those men in that gang. And it made me tell them that no longer can I live because of this. I can't do those things that I do anymore. I can't do those things because this book here was tearing my insides out. Thank you. This book here, listening to that, drove me to do something because I finally, for the first time in my life, stopped listening and started hearing.
Yeah.
It drove me to do something in my life, and I thank God for it. Verse 15 says, see that no man render evil for evil, but follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Now here's a formula, okay? Here's a formula. I remember God showed me this when I was a lost person. Because before I got saved, I was doing some of this stuff. But you know what I did with that? Quickly, it became a religion to me. Quickly, we can get things thrown way out. Because we think now, because we're going to do this, now we're going to earn our way to God. We're going to earn our way to salvation. Listen, it's not by you earning anything. There's nothing to earn. Look what it says here, and I'm going to be done. Rejoice evermore. How about it, Christian? Are you rejoicing out there? You got hard times going on in your life? Are you rejoicing through it? That's hard to do.
Yeah, come on.
It's hard to do. I remember driving to the jail a few weeks ago, maybe a month ago, and I remember just tears coming down my face. You had called me and told me to do something, Pastor. I can't remember what it was. But Ms. Ruth Ann, I hung up that phone and I started crying. You know why? Because for the first time in my life, I said, I'm able to be told what to do. I can finally submit myself under authority, and somebody can have authority in my life and they can tell me what to do and I can do it. It just broke my heart because I realized, how good have you been to me, God, to give me a gift like that? That's a gift to me. If you've never struggled with that, then you don't understand that gift. But that was a gift to me to finally realize that. But you know, I started rejoicing in the Lord. I started being happy. Look at this. It says in verse 17, pray without ceasing. How about it, lost people? Are you praying without ceasing? Or is that on your mind? How about it, Christian? Are you praying for those we know that are lost? Are they coming out your face? Look at it says here in verse in everything, 18, in everything give thanks. In everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you, lost person. It's God's will for you to be sitting in these pews today. It's His will for your life that you get saved. Have you thought? Did you thank Him for it today? Did you come to church, Stephen, and say, Lord, I want to thank you for allowing me to drive the church. And thank you for allowing me to sit in these pews today. I want to thank you because today I could be dead and burning in hell. But you know what? You didn't even think about that. Thanking God for what He's given you. Thanking God for where He's brought you from. Hasn't crossed your mind because you know what? All you're concerned about is being angry with God. Why won't you save me? And God is saying this. Why won't you see what needs to be seen? Start giving thanks to God for where you're at today. As hard as it is, give thanks to God. In everything, give thanks to God. For it is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit. Despise not the prophesying. Listen, prove all things. Hold that fast which is good. Abstain from some appearance of evil. All appearance of evil. And here it is, verse 23. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. How about it, my friends? Are you ready for that? Are you ready to see what God has for you? Are you done? Throw your hands up and give up, surrender to God. Let me just say this. You either believe that God is the God of all possibilities, or you don't believe at all. You go ahead and you hold that Bible up and you just tell God today, I do not believe what's written in this book. Because if you believed what was written in this book, you would be saved and your life would be changed. Either God is a liar or you are. Which one is it? Pastor, I'm done.
Amen. Father, I want to thank you for what we heard today. We do pray, Pastor Haynes. Now, sorrow that he wasn't able to teach Sunday school, but we thank you, Dad Dale, for prayer. And we do ask that you bless our 11 o'clock service and 1 o'clock. And we pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.